Welcome to This is 65, an interview show featuring inspiring stories from accomplished professionals. I am your host, Erin Akenheil, and this is brought to you by Blackpoint Insurance, where we help Medicare beneficiaries learn about the A, B, C's and D's of Medicare, and we help agents and brokers nationwide learn to launch, grow, and retain their businesses. Let's get this show started. Hello, and welcome to This is 65. My name is Erin Akenheil, and I work at Blackpoint Insurance, where we help Medicare beneficiaries nationwide learn about the A, B, C's and D's of Medicare, and we help agents and brokers learn to launch, grow, and retain their businesses. This is a 65 is a show that's all about the people we meet along that journey. Such interesting and dynamic individuals, authors, entrepreneurs, side hustlers, people who are starting their Encore career, invested in innovative causes and consulting, everything across the gamut. And their stories are so interesting and dynamic. And our guest speaker today is incredible. I'm excited to bring her back by popular demand. Today we have Adria Breyer, who is coming back onto our show. Adria is an integrative cancer specialist and consultant, and she's a patient advocate. And she's incredible. She is just sought after speaker for cancer conferences across the world. She's a motivational health speaker for businesses. I know her personally, so she's a really interesting, dynamic person with an incredible personal story and journey. And she takes the passion that she has for helping people lead full lives, helping them conquer cancer, bringing innovative research and dynamic speakers out to the community. She just does an amazing job. And I feel so blessed that we're able to have her on our show today, back once again. So welcome from backstage. Here we have Adria Breyer. So welcome, Adria. Welcome to the show.
It's great to see you again, Erin. And I want to be the person you just described.
You are that person. So we all want to be that person when we grow up, and you're already her. So thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're busy, but really appreciate you being here and have an opportunity to share you with our audience and just your incredible story and all the good work you do out in the community. So thank you so much for coming back. So Adria, before we jump in, I know you've got a really incredible story. So I would love for you to share a little bit about your background. I know you've conquered multiple personal cancers, and I know our listeners, many of them can really connect with that as that touches their lives. So can you tell us a little bit about your story and how you got interested in integrated medicine?
Oh my goodness. Well, in the 1970s, I was looking for organic, and people thought I was a fruitcake. What do you mean? I would drive an hour and a half to get really clean food. Over time, that stood me well, because when I acted as an advocate in the hospital environment for both of my parents and then for veterans, I saw what was going on around. And I realized that nutrition was basic to the body. And what we put in, it's like putting sugar in a gas tank. The car's not going to run. The body's not going to run. But then it expanded, because it wasn't just the nutrition. It was our environment and our stresses, and everything around us affects our body and our mind and our spirit. So we'll get more, you know, we'll get back to that later. But ultimately, in 2006, I had the first episode of breast cancer. And I thought, how is this possible? I eat so healthily. I exercise regularly. I was stressed beyond belief. And I thought, okay, I'm going to learn about this and conquer it the way that I do everything else. Well, I went online, which is what I suggest that the people referred to me don't do, but we all will, right? And it's a drowning experience, and you can't find the information you need. There was nobody like me that I knew back then. So I didn't want anybody else to go through what I'd gone through. And with all my learning, it turned out that people were asking questions, and my nature, like yours, is to share and empower others through information. So I found that I was spending all my time doing that. And I thought, you know, this has been my passion my whole life. I want to share the information I've learned. Let's just walk both sides of the fence. Well, what I've learned in conventional medicine, integrate it to what I've learned about the natural ways the body heals, and put those in one package to make everything flow more smoothly. And I did that for myself multiple times, and I'm still here and healthy.
Yeah, that's incredible. And I know you've been through a lot personally. And I know when that diagnosis comes, people are overwhelmed. They do doctor research online. You can't tell what's fact or fiction, right? So just having you to help navigate that maze, I think is incredible and really inspirational that you've also been through it to be able to connect with people. One of the things that I noticed, Adria, is you added relationship counseling to your practice, right? So you put that in and you said, let me add in some coaching about relationships. What brought that on? What was that spin in terms of bringing that additional service to your clients?
When I received consultations from around the world. Doctor consultations, or people find me online, or they find me at conferences, and it doesn't matter how they found me. We're all alike. We would be talking about the particulars of what's going on with them, what they could do, nutrition, stress, exercise, etc. But when they finally realized that they were in a safe, private space with me, so they could just let go of the lockdown, of the fear, and, you know, get just out of the intellect, because as soon as we get a diagnosis, we're in our head. We lock down the emotions, most people, and then we're in our head. And all these people are saying, do this, do this, do this. And they're all in the same paradigm. So the relationship counseling came because when people knew they were in this safe, private environment, they were able to release that lock on their heart and their lock on that emotions. And oftentimes they just start crying, and then they would start talking. And what would come out would be, I'm really, one of my skill sets is active listening. What would come out is what's underlying, the emotional element that underlies what allows the cancer to manifest. I had an emergency room nurse referred to me from the UK, from Great Britain. And she was just going over chapter and verse, because I don't see people in person, it's always virtual, of, you know, all the statistics. And something, my intuition said, I need to ask her a question. So I asked permission. I said, Katrin, I'd like to ask you a question. She said, okay. And I said, I want you to tell me about your mother. Now, we had not discussed anything personal at all. But again, we each have our skill sets, and intuition and guidance are fortunately two of mine. She broke down in hysterical tears. And I thought, bingo, let's let that out, because what we don't let out is impacting us anyway. So right. It turned out, right, in my consultations, people would think they're digressing about their relationship or their frustrations with people in business or even the way they look at themselves. It would come out in that space, and we could deal with it and take that elephant in the middle of their life living room out of the way.
Then the healing can really begin, right? Because all these things are impacting us like tentacles, right? You know, that are kind of grabbing at us. Oh my goodness. So
yes.
Now, Adria, I mean, it's oh, go for it.
I saw a marriage change in one consultation.
Wow.
And her relationship with her in-laws, which had been horrendous for probably almost two decades, that changed too. That was the quicksand. That was what I was just talking about, was the emotional burden, the elephant that they can't address, right? That just gets thicker and thicker. It's like constantly trying to go through a door that's always closed and hammering at it. I just wanted to clarify that is such a critical element, because it creates additional stress. And I'm going to give an example here. This hand is the body, right? And underneath the hand is what I call the quicksand. The emotions, the nutrition, the epigen, all of that. If we don't deal with the quicksand, it will keep hitting the body, and it's going to manifest in disease or relationship issues. And those both become greater elephants.
Right. Adria, would you say the quicksand causes cancer? I mean, we hear everything causes cancer. Is it the quicksand? What is it? What's causing all this out there?
Well, if we put everything in the world into the quicksand, the answer would be yes.
Right.
We live in a complicated world. the distinction is that for each, we're each individuals. There are some similarities, but that we're each individuals in our environments, in our minds, in our nutrition, and everything else we're doing. So, and the self-talk is also another piece of the active listening, which is really important. But that quicksand encompasses everything. And that's part of what we discuss when it comes to the consulting, all of the different elements. I had one woman, I think she was from Wales, called me, or Australia. And she said, well, my dad has changed his eating. And I said, that's great, but it's not sufficient. It takes cancer 8 to 20 years to manifest. And right. Most of the time it's going to be chronic.
Right.
So, changing that nutrition is one element of what we have to do. And it's not hard to do. It's just knowing what we each have to do because it's personalized.
Right. Now, I see you referencing the quicksand, and then we were just talking about that sort of father-daughter duo and the information you were able to get. I think a lot of people wonder, well, gosh, someone in my family has cancer. Does that mean I'm going to get it? Is that an inevitable? How does that work?
We grew up thinking that way. My father had heart disease. My mother had diabetes. Oh, no, I'm going to get it. That is not true. So this is a really important question you asked. We may have a genetic predisposition for something to occur, right? But that does not have to occur if we change the environment that might cause it to manifest. Dr. Bruce Lipton is a friend, and he's brilliant. He was teaching in medical school. He used to teach that, exactly that genetic expression is going to occur. It's a fait accompli. So he took something and he put that same something in various petri dishes, and he saw that it grew differently. And he thought, oh my goodness, I am teaching these medical students inaccurate information. So he stopped teaching the genetic the genetics are your destiny.
Right.
Basically, he coined a term called epigenetics, which means above genetics. And that's a lot of what we discuss in the consulting too. We delve into their lives and we talk about the stress, the nutrition, the relationships, the environment, the toxins, the daily whatevers, the evening whatevers, how do they sleep? And what we can do to mitigate the issues, release the issues, and change those variables so that genetics don't have to manifest.
Right. So if I've got this right, Adria, so genetics is your predisposition, which is not inevitable, but the epigenetics is the factors that you control in your environment that can either prevent or perpetrate the illness. Is that about right? Right. Am I on the right track?
No, you're right on target. Environment, mind, and body, spirit. That's all epigenetics as well. Cancer is chaos in the body. Cancer is a body that is upside down because the strongest healing tool we've got is our body.
Right.
There's nothing smarter. There's no drug, no surgery, no doctor smarter than our body. And then what happens is life steps in and puts these interferences, these roadblocks, these doors that we're constantly stopping our innate wisdom of healing from allowing it to, just go forward.
I feel like I think we have a lot more power than we think, right? And we have our opportunity to be able to control this. And so I feel like your integrative approach where you're, again, hitting all those tentacles, all those angles, all those things that impacting a person, they're empowered to be in a position to hopefully prevent some of these illnesses. When I think about what you're describing, I think of what I've heard about you talk in the past about energy medicine. Can you describe energy medicine for our audience? What is that? How does it work? How does it keep a person healthier?
Disease and pain are energy blockages. And I'll tell you two stories. My mother had end-stage emphysema, amazed that she could breathe, and myasthenia gravis, which is a muscle and nerve disorder. Your lungs are muscles. So if you already have compromised lungs, and then you have the myasthenia gravis, We went into the hospital many times. I slept in the hospital beds. I learned a lot about conventional medicine as I was getting, you know, growing up and then learning about cancer. And they were always astonished because every time they would say, she's not going to make it. And every time we made it. And they didn't understand why. And at the very beginning, one time she was, her fingernails were practically blue and she was going to be intubated. And something again, you know, thank goodness for our intuition, something, and she wasn't sleeping. And if you don't sleep, you can't heal. Not only that, but you create additional obstructions to your health and your relationships because you don't have that. You have just this constant tension going on that you may not even be aware of. And you think it's you, and it's not you. It's the interferences to you. Anyway, so she's lying in this hospital bed, and I'm, this is at the beginning of my learning about all of this. And something took me to her feet, and her breathing is really shallow, and she's not sleeping. I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. So I just put, and I had not studied this. I didn't know squat about energy medicine.
Instinctive for you.
Exactly. So I put my hands over her feet and she started to relax. And I learned that that was bringing down the energy from up here through her body, letting it dissipate, letting her just flow in a more calm, energetic way. And she slept. And I looked at that and went, what happened?
So powerful. Amazing. So do you... do you integrate energy medicine in your practice? I mean, how do you help people learn this?
If we have time during our consultations, it usually won't happen in the first consultation because we're trying to cover a lifetime in one, two, or three consultations. Sometimes one is sufficient and people come back 6 months later for a tune-up, no matter how many they had at the beginning. And let me clarify, my objective is not to have people have to rely on me. I'm here to empower them. Depending on what's going on in their life and their mind, we'll have one consultation, we might have four or five, but I want them to launch into their own empowerment, which is why they may come back. You know, we're talking about a lifetime. So in terms of the energy medicine, if we have time, I will do that at the end. I had, I forget where she was in the world, but it doesn't matter. She and her husband were on, you know, virtual. They were not in the U.S., and she had just had chemo. So we're doing a consultation and her husband's typing away like crazy, you know, the notes of the consultation. And she looks exhausted. So at the end, I made sure we had time to do the energy medicine. And I walk people through it so simple. You can do it anywhere. It took about 20, 25 minutes, I think. And when we stopped that session at the end of her regular consultation, which we started it, when we stopped that session, she had nice rosy cheeks. Her face was relaxed. Her husband had fallen asleep.
No more typing for that guy.
I had him do it with us. That poor guy was such a fierce advocate for her. He was trying to do all the stuff that would try to take stress away from her. And he just conked out. So in answer to your question, I can just do the energy work. I can do it for, you know, families, groups, businesses, the individuals, if it fits into the consultation. Otherwise, we can just do a separate consultation. Yeah, it's powerful.
Yeah, it really sounds like it. You know, I feel like when people get a cancer diagnosis, you know, I know from personal experience with my family, I mean, people just freak out, you know, and it's hard to not freak out even once you've recovered, right? And so I guess one of the things, I know with my mom, like every time something happened, you know, she thought it was back, you know, kind of thing when we had her, and it was just a scary time for us. And I guess my question is, do you think it's actually possible for people to conquer cancer and protect themselves from future cancers? Is that available and accessible to people?
In my opinion, 100%. 100%. I get emotional when somebody dies from cancer. I don't think people have to die from cancer. The issue is what we do about it. You know, cancer is a wake-up call. Something's really amiss. It takes 8 to 20 years to develop. A tumor is just evidence of the incredible imbalance. if we take out the tumor, that does not address the imbalance. You know, that's where the integration comes in, integrating conventional medicine with all the other elements of complementary medicine and, you know, alternative medicine and energy work and different choices in life. The tumor, this is one thing that people really need to understand. That is just evidence. The cancer stem cells are still floating around. If all we do is band-aid the symptoms, and the cancer tumor is a symptom, then we are going to still, and then we do treatments that these cancer stem cells are going to evade. You know, some people choose to do conventional treatments. That's fine. I work with everybody. They still simultaneously must get to the underlying causes. Like one of the things I work with that is so powerful that I've taken since 2006 helps to mitigate the side effects of chemo and radiation. But the point is, right, they've got to go and they've got to do the whole thing. And they need to understand that the mind is involved, the body's involved, the environment's involved. And the choices we make are going to determine whether we get a more virulent cancer or a less virulent cancer. So here's what I generally, here's two examples. The body is a dike holding back a lot of water. And we have various health symptoms and leaks. So there's a leak in the dike and we plug it, and another leak in the dike and we plug it. And the more health leaks we have and the more plugs we put in undermine the strength of the dike, which is our body. We need to get, and ultimately that dike falls. Too many plugs, the dike falls. If we get to the source of the water, the source of why the disease happened in the first place, we can slow down the water. We can let the dike repair. We can let those few holes that are there just do what's necessary to happen. And ultimately, we can be healthy again, because cancer is chronic. It doesn't generally just show up once. And if the treatments we do allow cancer cells to evade, then those are just going to get stronger and stronger and come back. So my objective is to make any cancer episode further and further apart and less virulent by dealing with everything, you know, most of which we just discussed, although not in depth, so that the body itself can conquer the cancer so that it doesn't manifest again. Does that make sense?
It really does. And Adria, I feel like I've got a pretty good handle on sort of epigenetics being a way to conquer, or, you know, describe what you're doing, you know, as a method to conquer cancer. But I know you use other methods in your practice as well. What else besides epigenetics do you focus on with your patients, your clients, to help them conquer cancer?
I need to know what's going on in their lives. They can tell me or not tell me. That's why the safe private space is really important. Because what will show up when they feel safe is the things that are the greatest stressors. Now, all of this really I put under the umbrella of epigenetics. Epigenetics is our life. It's the umbrella of life. It's the sky, it's the moon, it's the stars, it's everything. So when we bring all of that into being, including spirit, and I don't mean religious spirit, I mean intuition. We have our gut brain, for example, right? The gut brain tells us a lot of times we'll say something, we get a knot in our stomach, right? And then we'll disregard it. Don't disregard the knot. You know, those are the things where we're informing ourselves. Nobody else can tell us. It's us talking to us.
Right.
You know, right? Exactly. Look at that and change it. And here's an example, and I hope this is answering your question. If somebody says, you know, I've got a really bad cancer, I will say to them, what do you want? And they'll say, I want to be healthy. And I'll say to them, what you need to do is say, I am healthy. They say, but Adria, I'm lying to myself. I'm deceiving myself. I'm not healthy. And I'll say, but remember something. The energy will align with what you're saying and what you're believing. If you say, I am healthy, do you feel a difference in your body? I mean, it may take a little while to feel it more and more and more. That's what you want. And I give people, you know, to answer your question further, I give people homework based on our consultation before they go to sleep at night. I give them three or four things based on their life, what they need to say, what they need to envision, so that they're programming themselves in a very gentle way while they're sleeping, to let their subconscious work to help them heal, to bring in the energy forces of the universe. You know, some people, we like to say they're major manifestors, but we're all manifestors. We can choose to manifest. We can laugh about whether we want to manifest, but we need to still say it. I am healthy. I am strong. Whatever it is. And there are other ways of doing that too. There was a doctor who was told her son was never going to be living a normal life. And she said, I'm not going to accept that. The guy could barely speak. The young guy could barely speak. So what she did is she created a program for him. And ultimately, he's speaking two languages and he's living a really great life.
She just didn't accept it. She went for it and she created another outcome. So
exactly.
You know, Adria, and I know we touched on it on the intro, but I know you've had sort of multiple personal experiences with cancer. Is that something you're willing to share with our audience a little bit about your story?
You know, initially I was freaked out about it. I didn't want to tell a lot of people. I absolutely do share it because I think it's empowering for others. And it's empowering for me to realize how many times I've gotten past it and conquered it. In fact, let me digress for a second. I just want to remind your audience, if cancer takes 8 to 20 years to appear, it's most likely going to come up again. So just that I know what to do doesn't mean that all of a sudden overnight or over a few years, that 8 to 20 years, now I'm 50, now I'm 60, is going to take care of everything that happened all those years before. That's why cancer can be chronic. So we want it to be less virulent.
So even in your experience where you know how to conquer cancer, it's been a repeat offender in your life because of that impact.
Right. Only the incidences, the episodes have been further and further apart and less virulent. I had one skin. That's exactly what we want to do. We want to do that in life with basically everything, but that's, you know, that's what we want to do. I had a skin cancer on my forehead. And for 3 days, I put this that I take every day orally. I put it on my forehead because my mentor of 7 years was a walking, talking encyclopedia on cancer. And then he passed away because he would go to these enormous buffets and eat horribly. And I said, how can you do that? He hadn't had cancer, but anyway, he passed away of a heart attack. But he told me with the Halen that I use, you can put it on topically. So what I did is I put it on topically multiple times a day and I uploaded more. Normally I'm on maintenance. I took a bottle a day and the head of UCSF, University of California, San Francisco surgery, could never find that cancer again.
Wow, that's incredible. That's amazing. So that I just love that you bring these stories to our audience and share with them and really bring your word out to the masses, because I think you give people hope, you give people control back, and they're able to make the most of their lives. It's not a death sentence, right? It's an opportunity to change your life, and you've been through it and you're a survivor and you have learned how to change all the, I guess, epigenetics, the quicksand, right? All that things going around you to really help yourself and to help others. So you're just really inspirational, Adria. I appreciate you sharing all of this.
You just said so many things, Erin. Right? First of all, let's change the word to survive from survivor to conqueror.
So, right? 100%.
Because in our society, survivor to me is like hanging on the end of a precipice. And oh my God, I'm surviving. Am I going to survive? How long am I going to be able to hang here? Conqueror is we've done something. You know what? We have done something significant. We've conquered the cancer.
That
makes an enormous difference. So the first episode of breast cancer was 2006. I knew absolutely nothing about cancer. I knew health. So I went online and all the people who loved me were pounding me with the same paradigm that we'd all grown up with. And my intuition was saying, and I hope what I'm sharing right now helps your listeners to be able to do this in their own environment. All these, we all grew up with the same paradigm And I knew that that was not what's going to, that's what got me to where I got the cancer. That's not what I'm going to do. So I learned that I had to make my own choices. And I said to these people, you know what? I know you love me. I know you're scared. I'm scared too. Let me make my own choices. I don't need the extra stress of all of that. So that was number one. Then I started looking outside of the box paradigms. And I thought, okay, what makes total sense to me? What's my intuition going to say? So fast forward, I made a lot of these changes. I found some very foundational pieces to support me upon which everything else builds. 2011, I had another episode of breast cancer. 2012, I had a melanoma. The next episode was, I think it was 2019 or 2018. I had a growth by my pelvis. And I went in for a pelvic ultrasound, a vaginal ultrasound. And I went to my gynecologist, who was terrific. And she said, Adria, you know, you've got a growth and you've got a blood supply. And we all know that cancer has a blood supply. And she said, we can talk about this drug and we can talk about cutting it out. And I said to her, Mindy, you know, we're professionals together. I said, that's not my paradigm. I'm on my way to St. Petersburg, Russia in 3 weeks. I'm not doing any surgeries. I'm not going to take drugs right now. I'm going to do it my way. So I took a bottle a day of what I've been taking. We shipped it to Europe about 7 or 8 weeks later. And I did a bottle a day even while I was traveling. I had my wine. I had my dessert. I had my bread. I ate what I wanted. I walked everywhere. So I had my exercise. I made sure I slept well. But 7 or 8 weeks later, we did another pelvic ultrasound. There was nothing there. There was no growth. There was no blood supply. There was no evidence that had ever been an issue. And I want to say this about our medical profession. They are so well-meaning. So many doctors are so well-meaning, but they don't know what they don't know. Just like we don't know what we don't know, they don't know what they don't know. When there was no blood supply and no growth to anything that could have been fed by a blood supply, they don't even know the questions to ask me.
Right.
They're not allowed to share this information. Their licenses could be in jeopardy. So most of them don't want to know.
Right.
So, you know, for me, I needed to find a doctor who would support the way I wanted to do it, give me the lab work I needed when I needed it. I refused mammograms since 2006. They tried to make, not these doctors, but the hospital tried to make me get mammograms. I said to my oncologist, I'm not doing it. I'll do an MRI. I'll do an ultrasound. I'm not doing mammograms. I don't want that constant radiation. We're already bombarded by it. And radiation causes DNA to get sick. So now there are different ways of checking our breasts besides manually that are not radiation. But back then, you know, I had to fight my own battles and they didn't even know about a lot of these.
Right. No, definitely. And I know people have different approaches and opinions, and everything that you do for you may not be what all of your clients choose in terms of how they want to monitor, you know, potential cancers and those kinds of things. But you work with patients of all types, right? Whether they're using sort of traditional medicine, using sort of integrative approach or a combination of both. So how do you sort of work with people where maybe not every approach is identical in terms of your thinking? How are you able to still support and help them through that?
I work with people correctly. I mean, correct in your statement, who have done conventional medicine, who don't want to do conventional medicine, because each of us has the underlying causes. So in consultation, they will tell me what their lifestyle is, what they're doing, what their paradigm is, what their doctors have told them to do. And I'll never countermand a doctor. If their doctor tells them X, and they always go back to their doctors with their lab work, they always go back with that. That is not my area. That's why they have a medical professional. And if they want me to interface with their doctor, I will. So we go over everything they're doing, and then we personalize it. And that's what makes the difference. That's how we can integrate everything together. And that's, you know, each of us eats differently, sleeps differently, and different stresses on our lives. I had one woman who had, I want to say it was breast and ovarian cancer. And she had two young children. And they were stressing her beyond belief. She adored them. She loved them. But she couldn't get some calmness in her life. So we talked about how to get calmness, you know, how to make the children feel powerful in their own environment. They were young, giving them points for putting their shoes away or hanging up their jacket or every time they gave mom and dad a hug, you know, if they got into bed early, they got all these points. And these points, you know, added up to whatever they, maybe it was a movie they wanted to go to. You know, to tell them, to tell children, you are really bad. Mommy is really stressed. They already know.
Right.
Mommy is really stressed. They don't need, and they're scared. You know, this is an important point, and I'm digressing on you, Erin. The children around us, the people around us, feel our stress, even if we batter it down. They feel it, and especially the children. To try to hide things from them is really, we think it's in their best interests, and that's a personal decision. But at least to say, to give them to understand, even if it's just in the context of mommy's really stressed out right now, we're doing some really different things, so mommy's stress goes down. Or dad, you know, prostate cancer, you know, pancreatic cancer, brain cancer, everybody, unfortunately, and we've seen it increase, knows somebody who's gotten cancer. And usually it's more than once. So sometimes people will bring the children into the conversation, or the husband or the wife into the consultation, so that we can help them not to release the fear. I mean, a lot of times it's somebody with breast cancer who's come to me and her husband is terrified and he's all locked down. She feels that lockdown. She then feels the responsibility to help him with the lockdown. So the circle is
exactly. So no, I hear you. So I'm just curious. I feel like when we think of cancer, I mean, a lot of times we think of a tumor, right? Somebody has a tumor, they've got cancer. Can you talk about what is the difference between having a tumor and having a symptom of cancer? What's the difference?
I call a tumor a symptom of chaos in the body. And on one hand, the good news is that something has shown up. Rather than going through our entire body, something has shown up to give us a wake-up call. And then we, you know, does that make sense? The tumor is a symptom?
Almost like the tumor is lucky because you see it and you know that the problem is there, as compared to a symptom throughout the body that doesn't, you don't know what that is.
Yeah, maybe. Or the cancer is spread completely throughout the body. You know, most people know somebody who went in because they had a little pain and they found cancer throughout the body. And then, you know, conquering cancer is also about the body's ability to come back. If it's everywhere, it's more challenging for it to come back. So people have said, you know, I'm so lucky that I had this tumor because otherwise I wouldn't have known. I wouldn't have changed. I'm getting my life back and I'm getting off the treadmill. Now, I was at a 10-day silent meditation retreat. And when my friend told me about this, I said, are you nuts? You know, 10-day silent meditation, you've got to be crazy. I went, I loved it. I went to the second one on my own. And I happened to look down at my arm and I saw this weird mark. So I went in and I was fortunate because I saw a weird mark. I went into the doctor. It turned out to be melanoma. You know, I had it taken out. We did the Mohs surgery. I have a scar that I think is gorgeous. But had I not, you know, there's so much to be grateful for, Erin. That could have been on my back and I wouldn't have seen it.
Right.
It was on my arm. So the tumor is a wake-up call to change our lives, to be responsive to ourselves, to take care of ourselves, to trust our intuition, to make sure that any choices we make in treatment and in life are congruent so that we can relax and take. If somebody goes into chemo and they're thinking, this is going to kill me, we can't do that because we're taking all that energy. We're taking our subconscious. We're programming ourselves that something's harmful. We need the wake-up call to rework what's going on in our lives and our body.
Absolutely. You know, I think about it, you know, you get cancer, you remove the tumor, you have a growth and you do the Mohs, right? And get that removed. Does that cure the cancer?
I frankly, it's such a word in our culture, cure. Let's say that there's no evidence of disease. It's called NED. And we remove the toxic burden, which is the tumor or the cancer, even if it's smaller. But we all have cancer cells. The question is whether our body is going to be able to conquer it, body, mind, and spirit, again, energy, are going to be able to conquer it and not have it manifest in a problem or a tumor or a cancer episode. So because cancer can be chronic, and because we all have circulating tumor cells and circulating cancer cells, I don't like the word cured. People need to talk to themselves in another way. There's no evidence of disease. Great, I conquered that one. Wonderful. You know, wonderful. When people are told they're in remission and they think everything's okay and they'll go back and they'll eat their, you know, their Big Macs and their junky food and they won't sleep well and all they do is be in front of the computer, you know, you've given somebody false hope. This is a life-changing issue. And as life gets more complicated, we have to make different decisions. So we can say, wow, that one's over. Great. I'll protect myself so, you know, everything's cool in the future.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. You talk so much about conquering cancer and you've got me in the know, right? You know, so it's not really a cure. It's conquering. It's in the body. It's changing your lifestyle and everything else to better prepare yourself for any kind of genetic factors and that type of thing to really conquer each episode as it may come. I'm curious, I don't know a lot about the placebo effect. Could you tell me a little bit about that and how it helps to conquer cancer?
Oh, goodness. So there have been many, many studies done, cancer related or not, where somebody is given a little sugar pill to deal with an issue and somebody is given, you know, let's say a pharma drug, you know, a prescription. And the people who are getting the placebo are doing as well as the people who got the drug. And the reason I'm glad you asked that question is because this demonstrates that the mind is so powerful. The mind is powerful in everything we do. We are major manifestors. And I'm not talking woo-woo. You know, the law of attraction, many people may have heard about the law of attraction, right? We attract to us what we are thinking, how we are being. I'm going to talk about it in terms of energy. Let's say somebody married an alcoholic and they divorced that alcoholic. And the next one around, they also marry an alcoholic. What's going on in their energy field? What's happening there? So the placebo, to translate that into different terms, is what we believe can heal us. What we believe is good for us. The placebo is going back to what I was saying about I am healthy, I am strong when I'm going back to bed. When I'm feeling it, and this is another important distinction, Erin, I'm feeling it in my body too. I'm experiencing that health. I'm seeing myself healthy, not just here, because we are an integrated system. And the placebo is by using this and using our energy and feeling, we can make things happen. And it's well documented that so placebo empowering. Works, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, so I when I listen to you talk, I feel inspired. I feel motivated. I feel like taking better care of myself. Fortunately, I haven't had a personal experience with cancer, but I feel like it's definitely in my genetics, right? So, you know, anything I can do to make things better. And I feel like there's just a lot of buzz around cancer and prevention, and you're at the forefront of all of that. And I think about some of the things you've shared today, for instance, just changing my thinking, conquering cancer versus curing cancer or surviving, right? So conquering and the quicksand of the epigenetics around us and how that spirals and can make us lean towards those genetic predispositions and those types of things. But I know there's probably some other buzz phrases and things that you're using out there and helping to talk with people about now. Can you share some of those? What are those and what can we take away?
A really important one. People will say my cancer. I don't care if they're saying my diabetes, my whatever it is, they're saying my. We do not want ownership through the word my of anything we don't want. It doesn't make sense because what's happening then? We just talked about the placebo and the self-conscious and programming ourselves for health and healing. My blows that all up. It takes it to a cellular and molecular level. It brings it into our subconscious that now we have ownership of whatever is the other word, my cancer. So what I tell people, and I stress this also when I'm speaking at a conference and in consultations, because I'm doing that active listening, and I hold up the mirror and say, listen to what you just said. And somebody will say, well, I don't usually say that. And say, that's fine. You don't usually say it, but you're not, subconsciously, you're not hearing yourself say it. So this is the good news. You said it. Let's change it. I say, instead of saying my cancer, I'll say the episode of cancer and see it moving above your head. The episode and feel the difference in your body. My is dense. My, you know, gets y'all tight. My cancer. Oh, it feels awful. The episode of cancer has a different feeling. The body
is thrown away.
You got it. And it's changing. And again, because cancer is usually chronic, we can have various episodes. We just want them further and further apart, less and less virulent. And that's the work. Which is easy when you know what to do.
Absolutely. Well, I don't know about easy, but you make it sound easy, right? Because you're such a good guide. And I think about one of the things that I've heard you say is you talk about the concept of the pebble, right? And so can you tell me about the pebble and how that relates to cancer?
I love that concept. You know, because everybody, you know, you throw a pebble in the pond and you see all these ripples, right? So you throw a pebble to make one change in your life, like improving your sleep, which is big, or changing your eating, which is big. It has ramifications for everything else in your life. It's a really simple concept. It's not like, oh my God, I have to change all these things and what am I going to do? If you're the kind of person who can make all those changes in a very short time or simultaneously, go for it. But if you're not, choose one a day, choose one a week. Not less than one a week, you know, especially if you're dealing with a health challenge. But, you know, you can say, all right, I'm going to go to, you know, I'm going to have an egg every day instead of having, you know, this bar, this protein bar. Have something healthy. Make sure you take everything. Here's another one. Take everything out of your cupboards that does not serve you and give it to somebody else. Take it to a food bank. Give it to people who are unhoused. So that when you're tempted to do something else, it's not in the house to undermine you. Sugar feeds cancer. This is another simple one. When you are having a craving for something sweet, have a glass of water and tell yourself in 15 minutes, maybe I can have a little piece of it. Most of the time, you're not going to want it because in the brain, the sugar and water centers are next to each other. So a lot of times we think we're craving sugar and we're really craving water. Have apples.
I need to take that one to the bank.
we're chronically dehydrated. I have diagnosed my mother across the country at least three times of being dehydrated. I called 911. They came in, those great paramedics. They did a test on her. They said, no, a hand test where you can pick up your skin. I don't know if you can see this.
I can see what you're doing.
Yeah. And it should go down very quickly. But most of us are chronically dehydrated. And the paramedic said, she's fine. I said, you know what? She's my mom. I know something's different. I want her in the hospital. I want her on IV fluids. And she came back. Now, chronic dehydration is an issue because the fluid, the good, clean water, we're not talking about water in plastic bottles being our mainstay. Invest in an inexpensive water filter in your house. I don't have what I use on my website because my web person is MIA. But people can contact me. I can give them something that's really reasonable. I won't give it to them. I'll tell them where to go. And I want to be able to get them a discount, so I have to line that up.
Right.
Anyway, when we are all chronically dehydrated, that water helps us to detox. That water supports our brain health. That water helps our metabolism. Fat holds estrogen. Most cancers are estrogen positive. When we take, and this was one of the reasons my oncologist fired me, he wanted me to take a pharma drug that was going to block my estrogens. Without knowing a lot of the side effects, it affects women's bones. It affects our sexual activity with our partners because it thins the tissues in our bodies. It affects our brain. I mean, it affects our skin. Nature made us in a beautiful way. We may have some aberrations, some bumps in our beautiful way, but that we need to address. But staying with nature, and back in 2006, I was introduced to, people can go to my website and find this. It's under my favorite products. I don't want to take up our time to explain it too much, but it basically stops the blood supply to cancer. It lets the immune system identify the cancer cell, which is hiding underneath a protein coat. So the immune system can't fight what it can't find. It changes so much in the body. It's fermented and it supports the gut. The gut is the foundation of the immune system. It even helps people with ALS, which is Lou Gehrig's disease. Almost nothing helps people with Lou Gehrig's.
Wow, that's incredible.
It's mind-boggling.
Adria, everything about you to me is mind-boggling, right? You're inspirational. You are a cancer conqueror yourself, and you help people conquer cancer. You help inspire them. You give them hope. You give them control. You allow them to be a part of a good future for themselves, right? Making their life better. And I think you're incredible. And I want you to share with everybody, how do they reach you if they want to have a consult, get involved with your works, get to read some of the things you've written or hear some of your interviews? How do they reach you?
Thank you for all of that. makes me feel good that I'm seen that way. I have people go online. They can look at, look up my name. They'll see YouTubes, they'll see websites. Adria Breyer, there's no N in my first name. There's my phone number, thanks Erin, 415-308-4818. People can call me. There are presentations I've made at cancer conferences on my website. There's an energy healing meditation that people can also find. I do something more in depth when we have our own consultation. But that one is also, that's another goodie. I have always been an advocate. Even when I was little, if I saw something that I didn't think was right, I'd open my East Coast mouth and people would be looking at this person like, what are, oh. But most people know it's coming from the right place. So I've always been an advocate. I've been a senior advocate and a veterans advocate. I remember one time Dad was in the hospital in Miami. He was a veteran and they had reorganized the hospital. So I walked into the lobby and all these veterans were sitting there. And I thought, why aren't they at appointments? So I went to the desk and I said, what's going on? Why aren't these guys at their appointments? And the man said, we don't have any wheelchairs. I said, well, I know you reorganized. Where are the wheelchairs? He said, they're on the third floor. I said, why aren't they down here? He said, because all the people who are supposed to bring them are sitting in the coffee room. And I said, who's the manager of this department? So I went to her and she, unfortunately, she didn't have a window looking at this waiting area. And I said, you know, you might have really good people working for you, but these guys spend months waiting for their appointments. Guys and women spend months waiting for their appointments. And if they miss it, they're going to have to wait months again. You know, the wheelchairs are upstairs. There needs to be a different system. And she came out and she saw what I was talking about. It's like, this is what we, and I'll say we because I believe that most people are really caring people. We may get caught up in our own lives and we're afraid sometimes to say something, but I truly believe if we see an injustice or somebody being hurt, if we can help in a loving way, my paradigm is to do that. And that's one of the reasons I'm in this work. I love it. I love doing it. I love the feedback I get from people when something has changed in their lives. I love seeing their relationship change and them allowing that love to flow again. I mean, we're all here for our purpose. This is my purpose.
You have so much passion. You're so incredible. And if anything ever happens to me, I want you to follow me around and make sure that everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing. I want to encourage my audience out there, visit Adria's website, thrivinghealthandwellness.com, or search her name simply on the internet, or go to Adria, A-D-R-E-A, Breyer, B-R-I-E-R.com, or simply give her a call. She's located in United States based in California, area code 415-308-4818. She is just as much a pleasure one-on-one as she is in this group setting. I think she'll be an awesome person to have on your care team and just an awesome individual to know. So Adria, thanks so much for joining us today. And before we wrap, I just thought maybe we could wrap up with you maybe sharing one or two bits of advice that you would give to people to really live a healthier lifestyle, to make them more able to live a fulfilling life, a healthier life. What would you leave us with?
I will answer that question. But before I do that, I want to thank you, Erin, for your work. People don't know what they don't know until they need it. And when I was referred to you, I thought, okay, I'll try it. I looked at your website. I listened to your program. And I thought, this woman is remarkable. You make a difference in your arena that is so huge, because people make mistakes and they don't know what insurance they need until they need it and don't have it. So thank you. Thank you for committing your life to helping others, especially our seniors, because that affects all the families, and seniors are a passion of mine.
Adria, thank you so much. I think great minds think alike and find each other. So I'm glad I've gotten to be able to connect with you.
Absolutely. I recommend you everywhere. I want to emphasize that you are nationally available to help people.
Thank you.
To answer your question, let's remember that our health is a continuum, right? Here we are super healthy. Here's a serious disease state. Any step we take along the way is the pebble. So I mention that because we're very judgmental of ourselves. Very judgmental. Stop the judging. We are all human. Perfection does not exist. If we live in the 80-20 world or 90-10, 80% of the time we're fantastic, 20% of the time we're human. Not bad. We're human. 90% we're fantastic, 10% we're human. Accept and love ourselves. Look in the mirror and say, you know what? You are really terrific. If you were my best friend, I'd be really happy. We have to give ourselves back what society's judgments have taken away. And it wasn't necessarily intentional, but we grew up with, in order for someone to be right, someone had to be wrong. In order for someone to be good, someone had to be bad. We can choose our self-talk, and then we raise our frequencies, which basically means we feel better. And then we bring people into our circle who recognize energetically that we're a happier person, we're a good person, and our whole lives change with that self-talk, which can be the pebble, and trust your intuition. Remember
that. Fantastic advice, Adria. Thank you so much. And thank you for taking the time to join us today. Everybody out there, visit Adria, adriabreyer.com. Give her a call, 415-308-4818. Adria, you continue to be an inspiration. Thank you so much for joining the show today.
Thank you for having me, Erin. We'll come back and do energy work.
Sounds good. See you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to This is 65. Please subscribe to the Blackpoint Insurance YouTube channel and follow us on Instagram and Facebook. And you can follow me, Erin Akenheil, on LinkedIn and Facebook. See you next time.